Hi, my name's Neil Gibson, and I'm a senior lecturer in social work at Robert Gordon University in Aberdeen. Whilst I've been working at Robert Gordon University, I've been involved in research, and one of my areas of research is the use of therapeutic photography. Now, when I started looking at this area, it was really much looking at it from the social work perspective to see whether this was something that could be used in the profession of social work. But throughout my research, what I've discovered is that therapeutic photography has applications and implications for a number of different professions. First of all, let me say what therapeutic photography is. Therapeutic photography is the use of photographs and photography in a therapeutic setting. So really, when you're working with an individual on issues such as self-esteem or self-efficacy, or if you're working with a group of people to look at issues of empowerment, then this is where I feel therapeutic photography takes a role. The technique is really straightforward. It involves giving the individual or groups of people a theme to photograph around, and then they will go off, they'll take some images, they'll come back, and they'll share the photographs with others in the group. And from that, it'll generate discussion, it will generate comments, and sometimes some useful advice comes out from group members as well, to help people direct their lives in a positive manner. There is another practice which uses photographs in a therapeutic setting, and it's known as phototherapy. Now, phototherapy is a technique which is used by trained counsellors or therapists, and that to me is the main difference between therapeutic photography and phototherapy. To do therapeutic photography, you do not need that formal counselling or therapy qualification. However, I would argue that to use therapeutic photography effectively, you should have some training. That is something that I also offer, but it can be peer-led as well, so you do not need to be a trained professional to deliver therapeutic photography. It can be delivered by peer groups as well. Now, through my research, what I've done is I've developed a programme, and I've ran that and delivered it with a large number of different service user groups. The very first group I ran was with a group of females who were involved in the criminal justice system. The local organisation contacted me to say that they had a supply of cameras and they wanted to run a photography class, and I suggested that we did it as a therapeutic photography class. So I worked with this small number of individuals and we worked through the programme. What we did first of all was a bit of an icebreaker to explore working with images, to find a photograph on your phone that you're particularly proud of and that has a lot of meaning. And this just gets people to begin to interact with images and appreciate how easy it is to communicate through an image. As the programme went on, we started working with self-portraits, so looking at our own image of ourselves. How I did this was to look at a positive aspect or positive quality of yourself to try to capture that in an image. So we begin to get a little bit abstract in what we do through capturing photographs. And that builds up because we then start to look at exploring emotions through photographs, exploring relationships. And then we move on to looking at our immediate environment and exploring issues that are presented to us from society. So it does build up to a nice 6-week programme where we look at various aspects of life. So from how we feel about ourselves, looking at how society views us as individuals, and a whole number of complex and interesting issues come out from the work that I do. The criminal justice group, as I said, was the very first one I ran. I then went on to look at working with substance use issues, with mental health issues, working with informal carers. But one of the most revealing groups for me was when I worked with a group of young people who had a diagnosis of autism. The very first session I ran with them, I remember coming out of that session thinking, what have I done? I couldn't see how this was going to work because I had scheduled a 2-hour session and we were finished after about 4 to 5 minutes. And I just felt that the participants weren't really engaging. They weren't exploring their images. But I decided to give it one more week to see if anybody came back. And to my surprise, everybody came back. So we started to work on the emotions exercise and we went out to explore a local garden and explained to them how they could perhaps use the photographs to capture images to represent certain emotions. This was quite a difficult concept for some of the participants to understand, but others immediately took to the task. And what I viewed was that the ones who understood the task took other people who maybe didn't understand the task so well under their wing and said, right, come with me, we'll go and explore the environment and we'll get some photographs. And when they came back after an hour to explore the photographs, the depth of exploration was really interesting in the images. Now, the group progressed, and at the end of the 6-week session, one of my biggest realizations was that we were running overtime, that I had scheduled 2 hours, but people were using the opportunity to explore so much, not just about autism, but about their own lives, their own individual personalities and other aspects of their characteristics that made them who they were. And I was just really heartened by this. And one of the group members at the end said to me that this was the first time anybody had allowed them to explore their own individual characteristics. It wasn't just, what is autism? Let's explore autism. It was like, who are you? Let's explore you. And they said that that was really empowering for them because they're so used to, I suppose, being clinically diagnosed as somebody with autism and wearing that label. But this went beyond the label. And selfishly, for me, this was the first group I'd worked with who, my first experience with autism in a professional setting. And I felt I learned so much from the group that I worked with, that on a one-to-one setting, where if I was just doing sort of verbal interventions, I don't think I would have got the depth of knowledge that I did from the group of participants. So they felt empowered and I felt informed. And I think this is one of the underlying benefits of therapeutic photography. It puts the person, the photographer, in control when they're exploring things through their photographs. If you give them a task to do, then they have to interpret that task and find out what's important to them in terms of that task. They choose then what to photograph, what to say about that photograph, sometimes even who to show that photograph to. So the whole aspect of control is firmly within their hands. And for me as a facilitator, that was extremely enlightening. And the power balance shifts, the use of non-verbal communication throughout the intervention and interaction is also very different because the eye contact is usually on the photograph. You're sitting side by side, leaning in to show interest in the topic. And actually just working with visuals brings another layer of communication, another element of communication into that relationship that you've got with somebody. So it is really a passion of mine, and I have since finished my research in therapeutic photography and its implications for social work practice. And from that, I've also written a book for Jessica Kingsley Publishers called Therapeutic Photography, Enhancing Self-Esteem, Self-Efficacy and Resilience. And it really just explores the various steps that I've engaged with in my research, the underlying theories that give an evidence base to this approach. But also I outline the programme and I give lots of case examples from the various groups that I've run to show how the photograph really helped in that therapeutic relationship.